All right, Isaiah 40, if you will, very familiar portion of Scripture. And if you will, jump down to verse 28, please. Verse 28, very familiar portion of Scripture. I'm sure many of you know, but it talks about the wonderful person, really, that we know as Jesus Christ. And talking about those that wait on the Lord, they renew their strength, they'll mount up with wings as eagles. But notice, verse 28, let's read it. Hast thou not known, is the question. Hast thou not heard, another question, that he, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint, the young men, the young people, and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Very familiar. Now, we're talking about in the new year this theme of thriving. I read that. I think about someone who's thriving. We started out in Psalm 1, and the individual who will keep God first in their life, who will keep the Word of God preeminent, if you will, in their lives, and not just prominent, they'll be like a tree planted, and they'll bring forth their fruit in their season, and their leaves shall not wither. There's a lot to that we studied already. But now we come to this individual, this portion of Scripture, where we find that he's giving us a great glimpse into the person and work of the Lord. The question is started or beginning with, hast thou not known? Do you not know, have you not heard of the great power and might of the Lord? I think a lot of Christians today, they fail because they don't know who the Lord truly is. They've not gotten to know him through the Word. They've not gotten to study him. There's a lot of people having trouble today. I heard the story of the fellow that was driving down the highway and he saw a guy sitting off to the side and his feet were dangling off the overpass. He was sitting on the edge of the overpass, the bridge. And the guy pulled over real quick, jumped out and said, "Hey, fella, don't jump. Don't jump." He said, I can't live like this anymore. I'm tired of my life. Everything's falling apart. I don't want to live anymore. He said, "Well, just hold on a second now." And he got up on there real scared and kind of sat down next to him, put his arm around him, said, "Now, fella, Now, calm down a little bit. Tell me your problems. We'll work through this." And after about 2 hours, both of them jumped over. So your life may be a little bit bad, and you try to tell and help somebody else. You realize, boy, that guy does have it bad, and I realize I have it bad. And the world today has a lot of problems and issues, and the great reminder to us today is what? You're not known? Oh, the power. I want you to see today. I must jump into this here. Let's get into this. The power of God is revealed. If you're going to thrive in the new year, you've got to understand who he is. Notice what he says again in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Do you not know that God is all powerful? Do you not know that he has power to give to his children, to his people? The lack of knowledge about the person and work of God, it starts, number one, by an ignorance of the Word. Now you go back and study this and you find that Isaiah, we call him the great prophet of the Old Testament, but Isaiah simply spoke the Word to the people. On several occasions, he didn't say it this way, but he meant it this way. Hey, I didn't write it, I just recite it. Hey, don't kill the messenger. I'm just telling you what God said. And what'd they do? They persecuted him. Jeremiah comes later, he says, hey, listen, don't persecute me. I'm just telling you what God told me to tell you. What'd they do? They persecuted him. They imprisoned him. Daniel said, hey, I'm just telling you what God told me. They threw him in a lion's den. Joshua said, I'm just telling you what God told me. They threw him in a pit. Joseph did. Joshua the same. Went through difficulties and challenges. You know that. I think today, if you're like me, there's an ignorance of the person and work of the Lord. I like this quote. He says, if Satan can keep us ignorant of the Word, he can keep us ineffective. If we don't know the Bible, the Word of God, we're not going to do much for God, right? I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Do you know that's the number one excuse going to be said on Judgment Day as we stand before the Lord? And we're going to say, I didn't know I was supposed to. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. Now we know that that's figurative. But what is he saying? We know throughout Scripture, the Bible or the Word of God is referred to as what? The sharp two-edged sword. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, what's going to come out of the Lord's mouth? The Lord Jesus is going to speak the words. I'm going to say to Him on that day, Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to. And He's going to quote to me chapter and verse. Now, we can't memorize all of the Bible, but we should know the basics. We should master the basics. That's what a black belt is. A black belt in any martial arts is what? It literally means master of the basics. You got all the basics down. And then you go to different degrees and levels. And you have that. You think about today. Notice there's a lack of knowledge. And He says, as I not known, if you're going to thrive in the new year, again, pardon my repetition about this area of thriving, we've got to know the Word. We've got to know what it means. I told the story before, but there was a great story told of a couple that had just purchased a brand new vehicle, and this was back in the 20s when vehicles were just coming out, and they went and bought one of those Model T cars, and they brought it, the husband brought it home, and he said, honey, come out and look at this vehicle. She came out and looked at it, and he started it up, and it started sputtering and spitting and making all kinds of noises, and it started rattling, you know, and she got scared. She jumped out of it, said, something's wrong with that thing. It's going to blow up. What is it doing? And he said, no, honey, this is what it does. She says, well, how do you know that? He said, well, I've just read the manual. It says this. It says this is what it's supposed to do. I think about so often that we take and say, well, I don't know what's going on. Boy, life is really upside down. It's up here on Monday, down on Wednesday, little here, little there, struggles here, struggle there. Why? Well, did you read the manual? Maybe you're supposed to be going through that. You know, maybe you're supposed to be going through some challenges right now. Maybe you're supposed to be going through some marital hiccups. Maybe you're supposed to be going through some financial difficulties. Why? God's trying to put you in the right place. God's trying to position you. I mean, do you really think that Joseph thought that God was positioning him when his brothers took and kicked him and threw him down in a pit? And later on, the brothers say, you remember this, when Joseph could understand them and they thought he was an Egyptian, but he could understand what they were saying. You remember what Reuben said and others? Did I not tell you? When we saw the anguish and crying and pleading on his face, he cried out to him in the pit. Guys, come on, man. Please, don't leave me. He began to weep and cry and all that, didn't he? Do you think Joseph really thought, well, God's positioning me right now. Better just have a good attitude about it. No. I've got a bad attitude most of the time. Lord, what in the world's going on? Can't figure things out. This is going wrong and that's going wrong. God may be putting you in a place. And you think about some of this. Okay, let's keep going. You and I know that we've got to have a knowledge about God. Can I encourage you again? And please, pardon my repetition on this. I sound like a broken record. But please, if you get nothing else out of this and out of this church, remember this. Boy, Brother Tim always told me to read my Bible. He repeatedly said this. He repeatedly encouraged me. They gave us a Bible reading schedule. I'm trying to help you. And if everyone in this church would be on fire for God, it would start right here in this book, that you would spend time in it daily. However you do it, you listen to it on your app, on your phone, fine. You open it up and have, for me, I don't know what it is. I just like holding a book in my hands. There's something like that. I've got to have a physical Bible. However you do it, let's look at the second. He says, then what? Hast thou not heard? Have you not known? There's head knowledge, there's heart knowledge, but have you not heard? Now, we know what the Bible says in Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17, a very encouraging verse. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. The hearing of the Word of God. Your faith was started, your faith was generated when you heard the Word. Now, whether that was somebody that came up to you, as I got the privilege to do a while back, and sit down and say, sir, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die today, heaven forbid, I'm not trying to be morbid, I'm not trying to be negative, but if you were to die, do you know where you would go? Well, no, I don't. Could I take the Bible and just take about 5 minutes of your time and show you? Oh, that'd be fine. What am I doing? I'm going to read to him at least 5 or 6 verses about what the Bible says about salvation. other times of counseling or whatever the case is. I don't sit down and tell the person, okay, now here's what you need to do and here's what I found works best in life and here's what my philosophy is and my understanding. No, why? Because that won't last. They don't care what I have to say. They want to know what the Bible says. And I'll tell them, here's what the Bible says about relationships. Here's what the Bible says about finances or whatever the case is. Here's what the Bible says about anxiety or depression or fearfulness, whatever it is. You and I need to know that word. There's a loss of hearing. There's not only a lack of knowledge, there's a loss of hearing. He says, hast thou not heard? Do you not know? I believe it goes beyond this. Where do you hear the word more than read it? You hear it in weekly church attendance. You hear the word by listening. Maybe some of you listen to somebody online or a podcast or on YouTube or something. You listen to somebody teach or preach the word, which is great, and you should. There's a hearing you do need to put inside. It's your eye gate and your ear gate, especially how much we listen to things, and it affects our thinking. It affects our mind. Our mind is a precious thing, and it's spoken about throughout the Word of God. What are you listening to? What is it that you're allowing in? Negativity, harshness, and all the things that are going on today in this world. Boy, you can't watch Fox News or something of that nature. You can't watch it for long and you start to get a little bit negative. You can't listen to certain things or certain people for long and you get around somebody. And I had a dear little old lady in the church I was at prior to this church. I said before, but you could see her walking down the hall and she was looking for me, you know, and I thought, oh no, here she comes. And she made a beeline for me every Sunday. Hey, Brother Tim, how you doing? I said, good, how are you doing? And then she would, for the next 10 minutes, she would unload and tell me about all of her ailments. And I want to hear about your ailments, by the way. I'm not being that way. I'm just saying, this lady, every Sunday, I said, there's no way you have a list of all these ailments every Sunday. And they were different every week. I'm going, man, you must have it really bad. Come to find out, long story short, she really didn't have all those ailments. Had a little bit of some issues otherwise. You think about how many of things we listen to and allow in that just really cause us to be negative. Boy, if you listen to the Bible for any length of time, you don't get negative. You don't get pessimistic. You get excited if you're a child of God. If you're not saved or you don't know you're saved, you listen to the Bible, fear strikes your heart. Because the Bible's written to us, it's a personal book. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We go on and on. I better keep going. Think about this. There's many things that cause us to have loss of hearing, if you will. Hast thou not heard? There's distractions. There's defeats. People get defeated. They're just defeated. They get discouraged. They get distracted through hobbies, entertainment, work, family, everything that can come our way, pull us away from this Bible. You found that to be true? Why is it that I can sit and watch a basketball game? I don't know why I like basketball, but I like basketball. I'm not very good at playing it, but I like playing it. I like watching it. I can watch a 3-hour basketball game. I don't know why. But then it's like Bible time. You find this to be true. And it's like, oh, I can't do it. I read one chapter and I'm like struggling. Okay, I got to keep reading. I got to keep going. It's a spiritual warfare. Paul says to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, what's he say? Hey, make sure you apply the whole armor of God. What I find fascinating about that is that he's given us everything we need. He didn't say, okay, now some of you have more of the helmet of salvation and some of you have more of the sword of the Spirit. No, what's he say? Everyone has the same uniform. Everyone has the same tools, has the same armor. Apply that armor. Why? Because then he gives us the answer. What's he say? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. We wrestle against the spiritual things of this world. We need to understand this. Don't allow these things to pull you away. Now, back to verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? Notice that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator. I like that. The God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. Do you not know who He is? Now, why is Isaiah speaking this? Remember the context. He's speaking to a people that have rejected God. He's speaking to a group of people that have replaced God with idols and idol worship. We just got through the book of Exodus in our Bible reading. Again, if you're following us in the Bible reading schedule, do you remember Moses goes up in the mount and he receives the word, he gets the Ten Commandments and other things. And what's the first thing? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He comes down off the mountain. What's happening? There's Aaron prancing around, doing all these things. Later on, they're going to have more trouble. Later on, they're going to struggle with idol worship, idolatry. Now, people often think about this. Why did they have such trouble? I mean, what was the big deal about worshiping a little golden statue? I mean, why were they so into that? Because that God that they made up, by the way, it's a man-generated God, that God, they would make the rules, right? It's the same thing today called humanism. Humanism is that man is his own God. Well, my little idol would say that I could have her and her and her and her, whoever I wanted, right? That little idol would say that I could steal if I felt like you owed me that. We have these terms today. Not only equality, but equity, if you study those definitions. Listen, hey, you, how come you have all that? Why don't you disperse some of that to those people over there? Well, I worked for that. I went to school for that. I invested into that. You want me now to give to these people that don't do anything? It's a messed up system. This little God that they created would let them do or allow them to do whatever they wanted to do. Whereas God said, thou shalt not. Here's the rules. And you know what sin is? S-I-N, sin. What's the definition of sin? Transgression of God's law. We've stepped over God's law. God says, don't do that. Well, I want to do it. Don't do that. I want to do that. It's just a battle. And in his grace and mercy, he'll work with us. He'll bring conviction. He'll bring sometimes maybe a chastening hand in our lives. He says, number three, though, notice, not only the knowledge, not only the loss of hearing, but notice he then declares, the limitless God. I love this. Continuing, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Later, Paul says to the churches, he says in Galatians 6, he says, if we faint not, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, remember the rest, if we faint not. The word faint means to quit. Some of you maybe have fainted before. Oh, we were talking about that, I think, on Wednesday, fainting. And some of you said, I haven't really fainted before, and Lord willing, I won't right now, but as soon as I say it, I'll pass it, you know. But you can feel it coming on. I don't know if that's true. You know, I mean, I don't feel good, I'm about to faint. Well, what's it mean? It means you literally quit. You, boom, you fall over. And people get hurt. The injuries come when they fall and hit their head on the ground or whatever the case is. To faint means what? To stop. To quit. Paul says, if you keep on going, don't faint. You're going to get weary. You're going to get tired. But don't faint. Don't quit. Notice what he says. He fainteth not. In order for us to see that, say, well, I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to quit. Well, what do you do? Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Who what? Faints not. Doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. One of my daughters, this is about a month ago or so. It was late at night. She said, Daddy, is God sleeping right now? Because we are trying to get her to go to sleep. She wouldn't go to sleep. Wouldn't stop talking. I said, go to sleep. Stop talking. We got one of those talkers, you know. And she said, okay, well, is God sleeping? I said, no, he doesn't sleep. And she could not understand that. He doesn't sleep. How is that possible? I said, well, he doesn't need sleep. He doesn't need sleep. Does he have to get something to eat? I said, nope, don't need nothing to eat. And as I was explaining that in such an elementary, simplistic way to a child, you remember when Jesus said, have faith like that of a child? What is he saying? You're complicating this thing, man. You're getting too complicated. You're muddying the waters too much. When you just explain it, if you've never done this before, you've taught children and others, you explain it to kids, it starts to make sense to you. You're going, oh, yeah. And I thought about that as explaining it to her. I said, honey, he doesn't sleep. I'm thinking, man, he is an unlimited God. If I'm not supposed to faint, if I'm supposed to stay the course, if I'm supposed to run my race, if I'm supposed to, what, finish my course with joy, if I'm supposed to fight the good fight of faith, if I'm supposed to be strong in the grace of God, I have a God that I can look to that says, Tim, remember, I don't faint. You don't have to worry about me. You don't have to ever think that, boy, there's another God more powerful. There's another being out there somewhere. As we're studying in our Bible Institute, I love it, the arguments for the existence of God. And you think about, there's so many out there that try to describe who God is, and God, in fact, tells us, you can't describe me. I'm too powerful. He faints not, neither is weary, doesn't get tired. Friends, God never gets tired, and in your most weary time, when you are the most tired, I want you to remember that God is still on the throne. We got people that are tired today. Some of our dear people work, and they work all night. Some of you work the night shift. We got some college students. They're tired. We're high school students, tired. You think about, you and I need to understand God does not need rest. He's all powerful. What are we saying? If you're going to thrive in the new year, if you're going to stay the course, as Paul said, with joy, if you're going to finish your race, you need to understand who He is. There's no beginning. Verse 29, He giveth power to the faint. See, you can't give power to the faint if you faint yourself. That's a lot of people miss. You will not influence other people if you are living just like they are. You're not going to help your children if you are not the spiritual leader of the home. You're not going to help your daughter as she's struggling through some of this early adulthood things, or your son who's struggling through these early adulthood responsibilities and trying to figure life out, if you are not where you're supposed to be. I'm just preaching to myself for a minute. If you're not where you're supposed to be, if you're not being the spiritual leader you're supposed to be, amen and amen. He says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Oh, that you can find that throughout the Scripture. Remember what John the Baptist said? John the Baptist said, John, are you the Messiah? He said, no. Well, who are you? He said, I already told you who I am. I like John the Baptist. Boy, he didn't mince words. He was so fed up with these Pharisees. He was fed up with these religious bigots. Who are you? He said, I already told you who I am. So you're not the Messiah. No. Here comes Jesus walking down the seashore. And he gets down and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's him. That's him? He says, yeah, I'm not worthy to get down and latch his sandal or latch his shoe. I'm not even worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. And then he makes the world famous statement. What's he say? He must increase, but I must decrease. Them that have no might, He increaseth strength. It's in your weakest moments that God is working. It's in your weakest moments that you see, oh, I have nothing else to do. I have no more strength. I don't know what else we're going to do. I can't fathom waking up tomorrow. He says, here it is. I'm going to increase your strength. And God will bring you sometimes through the valley so you can see who He is. He'll bring you through the difficult seasons to see really who He is. And remember this, the fruit grows in the valley. The flowers grow in the valley. They don't grow up on the top of the mountain. The good thing, sometimes we see it. I'm down in a valley right now. Well, God's working. If you'll allow Him to, He says, listen, I'm going to give you the strength you need. And if you're like me, so often looking for strength in myself, well, I better do this better. I better figure this out. I better stop doing this and start doing this. No, you need to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I need your strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint. Those young people that are renowned for their energy. Some of you haven't had little kids in your home in a while, and it shows. Them little kids will run you wild. I mean, literally, I kid you not, 7 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night, they still have energy. I mean, there's go and go and go, and then finally they just pass out. They're done. And you're just so tired. Those kids, those teenagers that got all that strength and energy, they've got all those things that sometimes you look at. He says, even they will faint. Even they will be weary. They'll even utterly fall. The stamina of our God, He doesn't fail. There's no searching of His understanding. Notice Isaiah chapter 55, if you will. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. I love this verse. He says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, are they? And what? Neither your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. Do you have the next one? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's a reminder of us. Listen, you don't understand things. You're trying to figure everything out. Now listen, we don't live by blind faith. Some people accuse us of that. Well, just live by, you're just saying live by blind faith. No, we're not. There's empirical, we call it faith. There's evidence, there's tangible faith, but we do live by faith. And if you stop and try to figure everything out, try to figure, well, I wonder what God's going to do next. How's he going to do this? What's going to happen? We live and say, God, I trust you to the extent I believe that you will work. Now, let's get to verse 31. But they that wait. That word wait does not just mean be patient. We're almost done. That word wait just doesn't mean be patient and wait. It means that you have a complete and utter dependence upon God in every area of your life. That you say, Lord, I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stay behind you. I'm going to let you lead the way. You're waiting, not just patiently. It's not all it means. Utter dependence upon him. God will, notice, renew their strength. The provisions of God. God says, I will give you what you need. So many people today think that they need more of this. Obviously, our money, our world goes with money rules the world. 6 talks about the money. Talks about what? The root of all evil is the love of money. We if you're like me, push sometimes in the wrong areas. He says you're looking for the wrong thing. You're looking for the wrong answer. Oh, the provisions of God. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says this, therefore go ye. Because all power is given to the Lord. I want to remind you of this today. You know, some of us fail to understand who Jesus is. You're not just a Christian. You are on the winning side. You are serving not just a king, the king. You're not serving a God, the God. And you can boast in that, by the way. People get, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Yes, I serve the limitless God. He's unlimited. I serve the all-powerful God. And I'm not ashamed of that. Boy, you think about that. If you entered into a basketball tournament or a football tournament, you went into a game and they told you before, hey, you're going to win the game by 40 points. You're going to go, your anxiety will go away. You're not so nervous. You know the outcome. We know the outcome. John was given the great revelation. We know the outcome. We know the ending. And yet, if you're like me, sometimes we walk around so nervous and scared and wonder what's going to happen next, how are we going to figure things out, what's going to go on? Lord says, wait. Wait on me. Trust me. When's the last time you got on your knees and you begged God for his mercy? You begged God for his direction in your life. And, oh God, our church isn't perfect. Oh God, our family isn't perfect. Oh God, our marriage isn't what it may should be. Our finances are maybe here a little, there a little. We're not where we should be. And all these things, I struggle with sin. I struggle with addiction. I struggle with certain areas of my life. I haven't been pure. I haven't been clean. Whatever it is in your life. Oh, but God, I want to wait on you. Would you renew me? Would you strengthen me? You and I need renewing. Renewing is another word for recharge. Every once in a while, you got to charge that thing up. How many times have you failed to charge your cell phone and then your life ends? We don't know what to do without our phone. We take it here with us. We take it with us in the bathroom. We take it over here. We go over here. Got to have it. Got to see it. You fail to charge that thing. You fail to renew. Your strength needs to be renewed. This is indicative of we will expend our energy daily. Every day we lose strength. Every day you feel drained. Every day you need the renewing. And the renewing doesn't come through YouTube. The renewing doesn't come through Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. It comes through what? The Word of God. Through Him and Him only. Well, what else? And we'll wrap it up here. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I love that. They shall mount up. That word mount up is a phrase used in, you know, the old Western days, the posse, the sheriff would call the posse together and he'd say, let's mount up. Let's mount up. What's it mean? Get saddled up. We're about to go to catch the bad guys. Let's go forward. So they're going to mount up. They're going to be with, as with, you will, wings as eagles. You ever seen an eagle fly through the sky and the majestic beauty of that? He says they'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. One of the key characteristics of a child of God, of a Christian, is that, yes, we're physically tired, and yes, we're sometimes emotionally drained, and yes, we're sometimes mentally exhausted, but what? We keep going. The mark of a true child of God that's saved and knows the Lord and spend time with Him daily is that they don't quit. By the way, every one of you in here are great examples of that. You don't quit. It's not easy to come to church. Not easy to do your thing. You and I live in a dark world, a wicked world. Pray for our young people. They live in a dark world. They have to battle through the perverseness and evilness and wicked, vile music and wicked, vile entertainment, everything, and sometimes just to fit in and all the pressures they deal with. All the things. Some of you dear people work in an environment at work. You got to work around ungodly people. Foul mouth. You come in Monday and all they talk about is how many people they were with on Friday and Saturday. And all that stuff you got to deal with. It's not easy. And your energy is drained. You're weak. And I want to encourage you today. Keep running. God will give you the strength. Keep walking. God will help you. There's times of running in life. There's times of walking. Remember we saw in Psalm 1, he says that. They don't walk with the ungodly. They don't run. They don't walk. They don't stand. They're not in the midst or hanging around ungodly. But what? They're like a tree planted. Those that desire the Lord and walk with the Lord and all of that. He talks about this. Are you running today the race God set before you? Just again, a reminder by way of the conclusion. He says in Hebrews 12, what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down. And that's what to say. Run the race. Let us then what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You've got to look to the finish line and you've got to remove the weights. You've got to remove, if you're going to run, if you're going, how many of us, if you're like me, run with the unnecessary weights around our ankles, the weights around maybe our waist or wrists? You don't run a race. You may practice with that. You may go through some training with those weights, but you don't run the actual race with those weights on. You don't allow those distractions to come. Why are you running and you're still weary? Why are you walking and you still feel like you want to faint? Could there be something around your ankle? Could there be something there that's hindering your walk and hindering you from realizing who God is? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Do you not know who you serve? If you're going to thrive in the new year, you've got to understand who Jesus is. I don't serve a God. Jesus reiterates this to us. He says, I am a way. I am a truth. Does it say that? It says, I am the way. Definite article. There's no other. Lord, but is there another way? I mean, there got to be another way. You can't just be that exclusive. You just eliminated a bunch of people. You go all the way back to the beginning of time, and God never once failed to reiterate and express and proclaim to all humanity that He is the only way. Not one time. He repeatedly, through Himself speaking, we know through the Old Testament, and then through His prophets, and then He came Himself and testified. And people still today scratch their head and go, well, I wonder what way you should go. I wonder what the truth is. You and I know you have an unlimited God who desires to strengthen you. I'm just warning you. I'm just warning you. Tomorrow, even this afternoon, tomorrow, you're going to realize this. Because something is going to come your way. Some nonsense, something ridiculous, some silly thing is going to come, and you're going to go, what in the world? I mean, what? You just start arguing about eggs, right? You just start, some issue you're going to have. Do you put gas in the car? No. Well, that's your job. That's not my job. It's your car. I mean, right? Something's going to happen. Some financial problem is going to come. Mail, some bill will come through you didn't expect. Your taxes, you were hoping to get $15,000 back. You only got $500. That's why you have a lot of kids. You get better tax. Can I encourage you this and I'll stop? Listen, we serve an unlimited God. You are going to get weary if you are in the battle, if you're in the fight today. You're going to get weary. You're going to get tired. You're going to get drained. And God says, stop relying upon your own resources to fill your tank. Come over here to Costco and get a good deal on gas. Amen. Come over here and get renewed and get strengthened and get mounted up like wings of eagles. Renew your strength. Oh, friends, a key characteristic of a child of God, we don't quit. We're tired, but we daily get renewed. The world doesn't have that. The world is still looking how to get renewed and refreshed. I can't figure out how to do that. We know the source. We know where to go. Can I encourage you to stay in your Bible this week? Stay in your prayer closet. Ask God, Lord, literally, renew me. Help me. Recharge my batteries. Just a reminder, it's not about you. You should be charged up so you can help others. If you're drained, you can't help anyone else. If you're on the side of the road out of gas, you're not going to walk up to the guy next to you and go, hey, I'll help you out, get gas. Great. Can you drive me to the gas station? No. We better find someone else. Not going to happen. You and I must be renewed, and it comes back to understanding this. Listen, who He is, unlimited God. Would you stand with me? I'll stop there. Thank you for listening. Again, I want to say, just by way of closing here, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I want to take the Bible this morning, and I'll take just about 10 minutes of your time. I won't take a lot of time. And I just want to show you some verses. The Bible proclaims we can know for sure that we're saved. We don't guess at this. We don't assume. We don't hope. Well, I hope I'm saved. You can know for sure. And you can rest your head on your pillow tonight. I know I'm saved. We believe in our church that once saved, always saved. You don't lose your salvation. That's a direct attack upon the person and work of God, of Jesus Christ. You can know for sure. If you're not saved, I'd love to talk to you. Other steps of faith you need to take, like baptism or joining our church or something of that nature, you need to maybe get something right. Sure, I'd love to talk with you. Miss Amber's going to play us a few verses. And again, just if you would take a few minutes there, as the music plays, however the Lord's spoken to your heart,